So let's just jump right in. You're giving two talks, the first about Beethoven's relevance, and then the second specifically about the pieces on the Manchester Music Festival's concerts on Thursday evening. Why don't you take us through why is Beethoven relevant today? What's the lingering appeal?
Well, I think the lingering appeal is his humanity. The fact that he speaks to us in a very accessible way. And yet, the more you know about him musically, the more there is to get. It's not just the story of all the obstacles he overcame and all the difficulties that he faced. It's the fact that he's very much a possessor of the common touch. There are no better known ideas, musical ideas, in music than a couple of his. The opening of his Fifth Symphony, and the Ode to Joy from his Ninth Symphony.
And Eric, what makes those themes so pervasive, so universal?
His themes are not abstract. They have rhythmic vitality. The melodies are ones that he uses over and over again, but always in inventive ways. So he has a way of speaking to people who aren't musically literate, who are ordinary people, but he has a way of doing it that is both heartwarming and uplifting. And his struggles represent, I think, every person's struggles. And so in a lot of ways, that's, for me, what gives us very good reason to listen to him again and again.
Well, you know, Beethoven as a man is an extremely compelling character, as well as his music being completely unique and universal and having this broad appeal that you speak of. Where's the overlap between the two of those? You know, we can love Beethoven's music without knowing anything about Beethoven as a person, and likewise, we can like the sort of curmudgeon, tortured genius of Beethoven without knowing that much of his music. So where's the overlap there?
Well, that's really interesting. I'm not sure that there's a simple answer to that, because during some of his most difficult period, he wrote some of his most sublime music. And so I think that it is important for us, and this doesn't just apply to Beethoven, but this applies to all creative artists, not to generalize too much, not to try always to find one-to-one correspondences between the artwork that they create at a specific time and their personal lives. Sometimes there's a correspondence, but sometimes there isn't. And the thing that always astonishes me about Beethoven is that you're absolutely right. He was rude. He was ill-mannered. He had very poor social skills. So in a lot of ways, as a person, he wasn't necessarily all that pleasant to be around. And I think a lot of that is because he couldn't hear and because he underwent a tremendous amount of pain during his adult life, physical pain. At the same time, there's so much gentleness in his music. If you listen, for instance, to one of the works that I'm discussing tomorrow, the Emperor Concerto, yes, there's a very big, bold theme in the first movement, but there's also so much gentle piano playing in it. And that's true of both his fourth and his fifth piano concerti, that they're not just big and loud, they're not bombastic, they're dramatic, but they also have this gentle side to them. And tremendous lyricism that, in a way, one would not expect knowing the basic outlines of the man's life. So I think that we have to be careful not to think that we know everything about an artist because of the music or because of the biography, that often there is mystery there. I know as a composer myself that a lot of times I don't know where my ideas come from. I know I work hard enough to get them out, but there's a mystery about the artistic process that I think is one of the wonders of it and one of the things that I find most marvelous, that it can't be quantified. And I think that's true when we're looking at an artist from the past or an artist from today.
Well, that's beautifully put. And to just briefly touch on, you mentioned the Piano Concerto No. 5, which is on Thursday's concert, and also you're going to speak about Beethoven's Symphony No. 7. What is the this is one that's really famous, but also underlooked, sort of compared to 3 and 5 and 9. What's 7 got?
I think 7 has tremendous and almost boisterous energy in the outer movements and also in the scherzo, and then a profound and deep slow movement whose nearest equivalent in Beethoven's work is the Funeral March in the Third Symphony. And the thing that is marvelous to me is that the first theme in that slow movement has almost no melody to it. It's just this repeated rhythm. Jum, bum, 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 bum. Jum, bum, 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 bum. And there's very little melody to it, and yet it's extremely compelling. And it forms a great contrast with the outer movements that have so much energy and life to them. So it's a wonderful work.
Well, Erik Nielsen, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
Well, my pleasure, Kari. I enjoy it.